8:16. 8:16, closer to the bottom of the page. Okay, last week we... There's a different crowd here a little bit, so we were discussing different things, but... Okay, Hashem said to Moshe, Dabar Mnei Yisrael, Matam Tzolam Tzitzis, and the corners of the garments for all generations, and they should make the tzitzis and the corner of the garments, V'hoya Lacham L'tzitzis, and it should be put for you for tzitzis. Okay, now we said last time, tzitzis, Rashi says, is like strings hanging. Okay, another interpretation, tzitzis is metzitz. Metzitz means to look and to see. Okay, v'hoya lachem l'tzitzis, re'isa meisa, you should see it. Like we learned last week, great, we discussed a lot, that night is not the time of tzitzis, and there's two opinions, does it mean night time or night garment? Remember, we're discussing all that. Okay, you see the tzitzis and remind yourself of all the mitzvahs of the Torah. The Rashi says, how do you remember all the mitzvahs? So Rashi says, because tzitzis equals 600, tzadik yud is 90, 10, and 400, and then you have the five knots and the eight strings, it's 13, so it's altogether 613. Right? That's what we... Now, the Ramban learned also in another interpretation, the Karyoka brings it down, others bring it down. How does tzitzis remind you of all mitzvahs? How does tzitzis remind you of all mitzvahs? So the Gemara says, Rab Meir says, why did the Torah pick the color tcheles? You know, the purple tcheles, the turquoise, whatever you want to call it. Because that is similar to the yam. And the yam is similar to the rakia, to the heaven. So therefore, when you see tzitzis, you're going to remind yourself of Hashem. So that's how the Ramban learns, not only, because the question is, why by seeing tzitzis do you remember all the mitzvahs? Okay, so Rashi says, because numerically it equals 613. But the Ramban says, you know, come on, it got to be more than that. So he says, because it reminds us of the heaven, and the heaven reminds us of Hashem, and therefore, you know, it reminds us. The Kalyoka has another very interesting point over here, and he says like this. Tchelis is one strand. One thread is tchelis, right? Now, normally, you can't have a garment with one thread. You're going to have a one-thread garment. It's not going to keep you warm. It's not going to go around you even. But this is the concept, what's brought down, of mitzvah, gereres mitzvah. In Yiddishkeit, when you do one mitzvah, it brings it to another mitzvah. So he says, by doing the mitzvah of tzitzis, what does this one thread teach us? One thread and another thread and another thread and another thread makes a whole garment. So when you start with one mitzvah, he tells you that this is going to bring you to all mitzvahs, because one mitzvah, mitzvah gereres mitzvah. One mitzvah brings another mitzvah. So therefore, this is how you're going to remind yourself of all the mitzvahs of the Torah.
This tzitzit is not like the Polish, they put some cover to gun, they do this exactly, they do the same?
No.
They cover you from the...
The tzitzit covers the person.
It's some scene or something. Like, it's not like a gun that protect you?
No.
Body,
it's like armor, yeah, but it's not exactly. But
isn't it disrespectful to a tzitzit to be outside of the garment, to hang out?
That's a very interesting point that we should be discussing. If you notice, some people wear the tzitzit out, some people wear the tzitzit in. Now, according to Kabbalah, even though you find a lot of those chassidim, not Chabad, other chassidim, that they wear the tzitzis on top of the shirt. The garment on top of the shirt. According to Arizal, our custom is that we wear it under the shirt. Whether the tzitzis should be out or not is a whole discussion, both in Halach and Kabbalah, by the way. Whether the tzitzis should be out or not. One thing is brought down, that if you go to a funeral or to a cemetery, you're not allowed to wear your tzitzis out. They have to be tucked in. Why? Because there's a concept in halacha that's called loyeg lorosh. That literally means laughing at a poor person. It's not enough nice to make fun of a poor person. A person who passes away cannot do mitzvahs. Right? So a guy walks into a cemetery wearing tefillin tzitzis, you know, outward. They say, hey, you see, guy? Hey, I'm better than you. You can't do mitzvahs I could. So therefore, the halacha is, when you go to a cemetery, you're not allowed to wear tefillin. If you wear tzitzis, it's covered. You know what I'm saying? You have to wear it, you know, tucked in or put into the pants, because, and it's that, when a person passes away, they bury them with their talis, but they cut off a corner, that it shouldn't be obligated in tzitzis for that reason. They want to show that, like this, the dead person is wearing tzitzis that he's not obligated to wear, so it's like making fun of them. So all these things I keep in mind. Should the tzitzis, so some people say because it says, Ureisem Eisei, should see them. So, but when the tzitzis out, the strings out, you, again, that's the reminder. Yeah. But there's a whole discussion both in Kabbalah and in Halacha whether the tzitzis should be worn out. In our circles, the custom is the garment we wear under the shirt and the tzitzis we wear out.
What about going to a restroom?
That's not a problem. Because there's no Kedusha in the tzitzis. Even though, by the way, let's say the tzitzis get ruined. Okay? The strings themselves you have to bury. You know, in Sheamus. Mm. But the garment, throw it out. It's a regular garment.
But we keep
so you cut it?
Huh?
We
you cut off the piece of the garment.
The string.
Or you rip out.
Can you use those strings again?
Can you use the strings again? Yeah. Yeah, you can use them in another garment. Yeah. But you can't throw them in the garbage. Now, the reason why we don't, excuse me, wear a talus in the bathroom. You know, people go to the bathroom, you take off your talus. For that matter, they take off the gartel too, if they're wearing a gartel. Or many people, if they're Yom Kippur, when they wear a kittel, the white, they also take it off. That Shulchan Aruch says, not because it's forbidden. Because the talus, you go into the bathroom, it's not a problem. Because it's a garment designated for prayer, it's not appropriate to take it in the bathroom. In other words, a garment that you wear a whole day, there's no difference, bathroom, not in bathroom, it's not a problem. So what? It's not, the tzitzis are holy in the fact because they're used for a mitzvah, you have to bury them. But you're allowed to go into the bathroom with them. The reason why we don't wear a talus in the bathroom, or a gartel, because you wear it for davening only, so therefore it's not respectful to wear a designated garment that you wear for davening in the bathroom. But otherwise, it has no kedusha to it.
So if the tzitzis are tucked in, it's okay too.
Where?
If it's not showing.
Where, in the cemetery?
No.
In the bathroom, even if they're out, you can wear it. You can wear your tzitzis, you know, without a shirt.
I think
in general, if it's not out, it's okay too.
Yeah. Now, there's one more thing that the Gemara doesn't learn out here. It's from another pasuk in Devarim. Over there it says, G'dilim tasalocha. You have to make tzitzis. Alabra kamfas ksuscha. From there the Gemara learns out that you have to make tzitzis, and tzitzis cannot be made passively. First we learned, it says, betu mitzis. It says, chaga sukkis tasalocha. Right? Sukkah, you have to make a sukkah. So the Gemara says, this was called tasa v'leimina osri. You have to make it, you can't have it made, meaning like this. I'm going to just discuss by sukkah, and then we'll go to tzitzis. The sukkah is the schach. That's the primary thing of the sukkah. You can't put up the schach and then the walls. Because the schach is there, and then the sukkah is being made by putting up the walls. According to Halacha, first you need to put up the walls, and then you put the schach on. Because then you're making the sukkah. Not that the sukkah has become made. The sukkah again is the schach. If you can put the schach first, it's not kosher. But the schach is already up. And then you make the walls, so the sukkah is passively what's called being made. So that's no good. The same thing by tzitzis. For instance, if you technically have, let's say, a garment, and then the tzitzis is already made, and you sew them into the garment, it wouldn't be kosher. I'll give another example. Sometimes, you know, the tzitzis is held on by the two holes. Okay? Sometimes that hole rips and the tzitzis fall out. Right? You can't just put put the tzitzis back and sew up the hole. Because then the tzitzis are becoming made. You need to actually make the tzitzis. So you'd have to take them apart.
All of the nuts and everything.
Everything, the whole thing, take apart.
Four,
and then
four corner? Yeah, if one of the corner is bad.
No, just that corner. Just that corner.
That's what the sheik said.
Which one?
He said she was being nice, so she took off all the knots from the garment.
That's the Chinese laundry.
Right.
I've seen it in forms, because they sell like, this is already made.
No, it looks like it.
No. But they were made. What's it mean? You make them, somebody else makes them.
Oh,
I'm saying you can't make the tzitzis and then the garment. You have to make the garment and put tzitzis on the garment. If you have tzitzis first, ready-made, and then you stick them onto the garment, that's not going to be kosher. Not from here, by the way. From later on in Dvarim, in Kisei, what I think, says, G'dilim ta'aseh l'cho. You have to make tzitzis, not tzitzis be made.
Okay. Is mitzvah to make tzitzit all by yourself, everything by yourself?
Not necessarily. You don't have to do a dafka yourself. There's another interesting argument in Halacha, by the way. Because we learn out tzitzis is not for nighttime, yeah? Can I put tzitzis in a garment at night? Let's say I have a garment, I'm going to put the tzitzis in, you know, I'm going to twirl them around and put in the tzitzis. Are you allowed to do it at night? So there's two opposite opinions in Halacha. One opinion says, even possibly it's no good. And another opinion says, l'chatchila, you could do it. We all that you could. This is from the Rebbe Rashab said to somebody, you could do it. But there's an argument along between Prima Godim and other days.
What about the Diabad if somebody is
in emergency? I'm saying, we hold that you could do it. So, but there are opinions that say, because night is not the time of tzitzis.
Only Yom Kippur.
Right. Therefore, for instance, a woman cannot put tzitzis on a garment, according to many opinions. Because she's not obligated in the mitzvah. She's not obligated in the mitzvah. How could she put the tzitzis in? You need somebody obligated in the mitzvah. And therefore, it's interesting, a lot of the camps, they teach kids how to make tzitzis. But if a kid makes a garment when he's 12, he's not bar mitzvah yet. And then becomes bar mitzvah, he can't wear that garment. Because the tzitzis were made by somebody who's not obligated in the mitzvah. He's not bar mitzvah yet.
But those tefillin and tzitzis that you're obligated for the man, we have to say that nighttime, even we are not wearing it and we are not using it.
Who, the women?
Yeah.
What do you want from the women?
Those brought up before you go to sleep.
And the tzitzis? No, it's not to do with tzitzis.
What?
That has nothing to do with tzitzis.
It says if I made a mistake with putting the tefillin and those
Shema Yisrael.
After Shema Yisrael.
No.
There is,
you mean if I didn't do the... Should women say it?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not? They do plenty of sins.
Why? I mean, you're not
obligated
to make...
Okay, you don't have to do... What?
If the last two knots are not apart and you don't, do you say the Shem...
Yeah. Shem Mitzvah Tzitzis, yeah.
Yeah.
What was the question?
No, when you make the tzitzis, when you make the knots... You have two knots, then you do the twirl around like we learned last week, 7, 8, 11, 13. Then you make another two knots, remember? Mm-hmm. So when you make the knots, you say the shame mitzvah tzitzis. That we're doing it for the mitzvah of tzitzis. Now it's also brought down, here Mamlez brings an interesting thing. He says if a person gets angry, I don't know if this works, try it out. If you get angry, you know you're getting really angry, look at the tzitzis and your anger will go away. Why? He says, because kanof, the corner where you wear the tzitzis, equals 150, and kas, anger, also equals 150. Yeah. So if you look at the corner of your tzitzis, the anger goes away.
That works for one.
I don't know.
Neutralize.
What?
What about the children that, you know, they are young and when they wear tzitzis and go to bed, they
no.
have accidents or whatever?
So you wash the tzitzis, yeah.
What about sleeping in tzitzis?
So I'm saying our custom is that we sleep in tzitzis. Because like we learned last week, according to many opinions, it's not night and day. It's day garment and night garment. So a tzitzis is called a day garment. So according to that opinion, a day garment, even at night, needs tzitzis. So therefore, if you sleep with tzitzis, you're actually getting the mitzvah even at night of wearing tzitzis.
Rabbi, some people have a different tzitzit to wear at night, overnight.
Right.
And then they change it in the morning, right?
Yeah, but it's still day and night. It's the garment that's made for day and night. It's not a sleeping garment. It's a...
There's no requirement to wear tzitzis to bed?
It's better to, it says.
Better?
Yeah.
One, because when you get up in the morning, you
get it. Number one, you get up in the morning, it's already day. And also, we said, according to those opinions, that a day garment needs tzitzis even at night. So it's a day garment at night. You're wearing tzitzis, so you get a mitzvah wearing tzitzis even when you're sleeping.
So you can sleep with the day garments too.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
Don't take it off, right?
Right. Okay. Now, this is a thing. So you look at the tzitzis and you remember all the vatzis and meisim, you'll do them. Then the pasuk says like this: V'leis asuru achri levachem v'achri enechem. You should not turn after your eyes and your heart. The Gemara says, in fact, the Mepharshim is brought down in Chassidus many places. Eino v'liba treis hirsurei da'aveinu ninu. That's what it says in the Gemara's expression. The eyes and the heart are the two agents of sin. The eye sees and the heart wants. Ha'ayin roe, says in Pirkei Avos, ha'ayin roe v'alev chomed. The eye sees and the heart wants. Out of sight is out of mind.
This is reverse.
I know. Achri levachem v'achri enechem. I know that. Yeah. I don't know why the Torah says it. I was thinking about that to see why the Torah say the opposite. I don't know.
Because when you see it, you want it. When you don't see it...
Out of sight is out of mind.
Also, by don't see something, explain about something to you. You get interested. You're not interested? If you don't see it,
you're not interested.
Yeah. If a description says something about...
So then you're seeing it visually in the mind. But
how do blind people enjoy it?
Huh?
How do blind people enjoy something?
They don't enjoy it as much. They don't enjoy food as much, because the Gemara says that's one of the reasons why you have candles on Shabbos, that when you see the food that you're eating... They didn't have electricity in those days. You enjoy the food much better, so it's part of the enjoyment of Shabbos. In fact, they bring down over here that, you know, by Shema, you cover, when you don't only kiss the tzitzis, you usually go over the eyes. So it says, a person that puts tzitzis over his eyes, what does he bring down from Sfarim, that they're not going to get blind. Because it says, V'hoya lachem letzitzis, tzitzis, like we said, means also to look. Me'itzitz min acharakim. You know, lots is to look. So it's good. Okay, so people have to know that the two agents of sin are the heart and the eyes. But sometimes it works, by the way, first from the heart. The heart wants something, then you go looking for it. Yeah. Sometimes the heart... The bottom line is, they both got to be controlled.
Which one is more powerful?
The eyes.
Eyes more
powerful. Yeah. It says, why did Hashem, that's why Hashem made the eyes close. You know, you can close your eyes.
So.
That we should close them. Fish don't close the eyes. The eyes are always open, it says. Yeah. But people have eyes because they have to control what they look at.
With the eye, they can see the whole world.
Who?
Everybody.
Yeah. It's nothing to look at, by the way, but...
Well, they're all naked anyway, the fish, so...
Yeah, so there's no Yetzirah. They don't even...
Eye is control, but love is not control.
No one knows, girl.
Love is not control.
What reason why we close the fish don't close? Because we need to wet the lenses
and the contact lenses.
No, the fish, there's water there all the time.
I know, so they're always clean. I know. Okay, which afterward you stray by looking where you shouldn't. Lamant is kuru, that you should remember. Vasisim is kol mitzvah. In other words, and here the Mepharshim explain, it doesn't mean what the Torah is telling us. It's not enough just to remember. You have to do also. Now, you can't say I love you in my heart, but you got to do things too. So, Zilman Tizkeru, you should remember, Vasisim is called Mitzvah Yisai, V'yisim kadeshim lalakechem, and then you're going to be holy for Hashem.
Question.
Yes.
Tizkel, why do we put an accent on Tizkel, Zion?
It has to be a Zion, right. Not a sin.
If not...
Mantiskeru means you should rent.
Wow.
Tizkeru with a Zion means to remember. The same word, if you put a sin instead of a Zion, it means to rent. You should rent, and you should rent and do all the mitzvahs. I mean, that doesn't make sense. It says you should emphasize, but make it a Zion, not Tizkeru.
I don't say with the sin also, isn't it schar, like reward of it?
Yeah, but that's not the word. The word is with a Zion. If you read in the Chumash, when you're laying Tizkeru, it has to be corrected. You don't. Well, you're not supposed to do it for the schar. You're supposed to do it because Hashem said so. Okay. Ani Hashem alakechem. I am God, your God, Asher tzeitzi eschem eretz Mitzrayim, that I took you out of Egypt. Meaning, the Rashi explains on this pasuk. It needs to a little bit of a discussion because Rashi says like this: Ani Hashem, I am trustworthy of paying reward. Alakechem, I'm. You know, I could punish you also. Asher tzeitzi eschem, I took you out of Egypt. Rashi says, what is the pasuk saying over here? Why did I take you out of Egypt? That you should do my mitzvahs. Now, what's the connection between Ani Hashem Elokeichem and the pasuk before that says, remember to do all the mitzvahs? Because it says, well, remember to do all the mitzvahs, that's why I took you out of Egypt. Hashem said, why did I take you out of Egypt? To do it. And he says, and Hashem says, I was the one. Rashi says another interpretation. Hashem says, I separated between the Jewish firstborn and the non-Jewish firstborn by the plague, right? So I am going to differentiate between somebody that does what they're supposed to do and somebody that doesn't do what they're supposed to do. And then he says, this is the connection between Tzitzis and the Mekesha Sheitzim, the guy that carried the wood, chopped the wood, whatever, gathered the wood. Remember that the guy. So what's the connection? Because just like Shabbos is equal to all mitzvahs, Tzitzis is equal to all mitzvahs. So that's the connection, Rashi says, between the two. It's equal to all mitzvahs. Okay, now. Liyos lachem lalakim, to be your God, and Yashem lakechem, I am God, your God. Now, we know, one second, we know at night, when we say the Shema, we add this parsha. We say the parsha tzitzis at night. So the Gemara discusses, why do we say this parsha at night if not it's not the time of tzitzis? Right? We said it's urisim, it has to be day, not night. So why are we mentioning this parsha at night? So this is what we say, by the way, in the Haggadah Shel Pesach. Amar Abelazar ben Azariah, Arei ani kaven shivim shana, I'm not coming at 70, and I never merited that Yetzias Mitzrayim should be said at night. What did he mean? To say this parsha at Krishma at night. Because it says, Yemei Chayecha, remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, all the days of your life. Right? So the Chacham say not at night. So therefore, according to the Chacham originally, they would not say Parshat Tzitzis at night. Because Yetzias Mitzrayim is called Yemei Chayecha, days of your life. Come the Lord, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, or Ben Zayma, says, Yemei Chayecha Hayamim, Kol Yemei Chayecha, call all to include night. Right? So therefore, the Gemara learns out that because you're supposed to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim day and night, so where do we remember Yetzias Mitzrayim at night? Well, we say this parsha of Tzitzis by Maariv in Krishma Lamita, whatever. We say this parsha, this reminds us of Yetzias Mitzrayim at night. And therefore, it's an interesting thing. According to many opinions, women are not, according to Halacha, women are not obligated to say Shema. Because Shema is a mitzvah connected to time. B'shach b'chol v'kamecha. When you get up, when you go to sleep.
How about during night, they're sleeping? They're not supposed to say that?
No, the women do, but they're not obligated in the mitzvah. But the mitzvah, Yetzias Mitzrayim, they are obligated. Because it's not bound to time, it's day and night. So, in a certain respect, this parsha of Tzitzis, because it speaks about Yetzias Mitzrayim at the end, is more important for women than the first two parshias. It says, but women do, because Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, V'Ahavta Hashem Elokecha, you know, acceptance of the yoke of Hashem. But from a halachic perspective, in a certain respect, this parsha, tzitzis, is more important than the Shvarim v'Hoyim Shemaya. What?
I know there's an obligation for a woman to pray.
There's nothing to do with Shema. Let me explain something very simple. There's a mitzvah Shema. Nothing to do with prayer.
Okay.
There's a mitzvah saying Shema b'shach v'chol v'kumecha. Okay? There's a mitzvah tefillin, and there's a mitzvah tefillah. Okay? We stick them together. But the truth is, there's three different mitzvahs. Okay? There's a mitzvah putting on tefillin. There's nothing to do with davening. If a guy puts on tefillin, takes them off, he did the mitzvah tefillin. Then there's a separate mitzvah to daven. Then there's a third mitzvah to do Shema.
Are the weight of each equal?
It's hard to weigh the mitzvahs. They're all three important. But the bottom line, we do them all together. We put on tefillin, when we daven, we say Shema, middle of daven. That's the way the Chachamim instituted it. But biblically, there are three separate mitzvahs. Women are obligated to daven, they're not necessarily obligated in the mitzvah Shema.
When you say daven, does that mean Shema Esrei?
Tefillah would be Shema Esrei.
Tefillah Shema.
Yeah.
Isn't that also a time bound? Because you're supposed to do it at...
But that's an argument between Rambam and Ramban. If it's biblical, rabbinic, that's a whole halachic question. Is davening biblical, and then it's not connected to time? Is davening rabbinic, then it is connected to time? Because if you look in Chumash, where's the mitzvah prayer said? Where's it the daven? So it says Ula Avdei B'chol Avavchem, to serve Hashem with all your heart. And the Gemara says, what is Avodah Shebelev? Zu Tefillah. This is davening. Okay? Now, we daven three times a day. Shachris Mincha Mayiv. Or Mayiv Shachris Mincha, right? Now that is already connected to time. But the mitzvah of tefillah biblically, according to many opinions, has nothing to do with time. You have a problem, you have a mitzvah to daven. You have a problem, you have a biblical mitzvah to daven. This that we daven three times a day, that is rabbinic, it's nothing to do with it.
This mitzvah for the women is... They have the range time, like 10 hours, 12 hours, 13 hours. This is not considered a special time. They can do it all day, they can do that.
Why do what?
The mitzvah for tefillah. They can do it like Shema. They can do all day, they have time to do Shema. They can do that. It's not time.
But the mitzvah itself is a mitzvah that Torah gives time, when you go to sleep or when you wake up in the morning and when you go to sleep.
So
it's a mitzvah that Torah connects to time. A mitzvah, the Torah connects to time, women don't have to do. It's not because it takes a lot of time, a little time, it's not negeya. A mitzvah connected to time, women don't have to do. Okay, so this is how the pasuk and the pasuk finish. I am Hashem, Hashem, that took you out of Egypt, that to be your God, and therefore you have to do all these mitzvahs. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am God, your God. Okay? Okay, now we go to the next parsha. 8:20, Mr. Kairach. Mazel, we should make a party. Bring potato chips, candy.
Sion.
See you.
They have Sion.
You have eggs. Hard boiled eggs.
Okay. Now is an introduction to Parshas Kairach. The Gemara in Sanhedrin has a whole few pages about this Kairach story, what happened. Everybody knows the story of Kairach, basically, but just to give an introduction from the Gemara and the Medrash's perspective over here. Moshe Rabbeinu gave certain halachas that the Jews needed to know. One of the halachas that he gave was that the Levium had to shave the hair from their entire body. It was a one-time deal. One-time deal. They took a razor. We learned that before. Moshe Rabbeinu said that's a mitzvah from Hashem. The Levium have to take a razor and shave the head from head to toe. The beard, every hair on the body had to come off.
At what age?
No, that time, one time deal. When they're inaugurating the Levium to work in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara says, Meshach Ben did it himself too.
Did he?
Yeah. Everything. Reveal Sar, I'll call Besorim. Everything, every hair in any part of the body had to be removed. So Mr. Kairach comes home. Mrs. Kairach didn't like the idea of how he looked. So she started screaming at him, what is this stupid thing this guy is teaching you? So he said, he did it to himself. I mean, you know, it's not... So she was a big instigator. And she was telling you, stupid fool, and you look stupid, and look what he's doing. Everything he tells you to do, you're listening to him, what are you, baby, stupid, or whatever. Anyway, he came home now, that's the connection between Kairach and the Parsha of Tzitzis. He came home from school, so Mrs. Kairach said to him, what did he tell you today? You know, like it. He said, he told us the din of Tzitzis. He took us the din of Tzitzis. What? You have to put on a garment, to put tzitzis on the garment. So, she started making fun of it. What are you, stupid? This mitzvah. She started making a whole bunch of fun. Anyway, so then, what happened was, so she said to him, okay, let me ask you a question. So, Moshe Rabbeinu said, there's a string of tchelis. One string is good for the corner, right? How about if I make a garment that the whole garment is tchelis? The whole garment is this thread. Tala shekula tchelis. Does it need tzitzis? Kirk said, I imagine so. So she starts screaming at him, you're a fool. If one thread of tchelis frees the whole garment, if the whole garment is tchelis, you think you need tzitzis? So she made him go ask Moshe Rabbeinu the question. And that's where it said, Vayikach Kairach. What did he take?
The question.
What did he take? It says, Vayikach Kairach. One minute. Vayikach Kairach. Just look at the pasuk. Yeah. Kairach took. Okay. Ben Kos, Ben Levi, Vadosin, Vaviram, Ben Ali, Avain, Ben Pelet, Ben Ruvain. And they stood up to Moshe Rabbeinu. So what does it mean, Vayikach Kairach? What do you mean? What did he take? So what? Many interpretations we'll soon see. One interpretation is he took a talis that's full of tchelis. And he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, this needs tzitzis or not? So Moshe Rabbeinu said it does. So he started screaming at Moshe Rabbeinu, you're a fool. He told him his wife's, Mrs. Kerich's logic. If one thread is good for the whole garment, so the whole garment is tchelis, for sure it doesn't need. And then he took another shiloh. And then first we'll see how they get that. But the Gemara says, Pukedach came to Moshe Rabbeinu and said like this, Bayis Molei Sforim. A room, house full of Sefer Torahs. Didn't have books in those days. Needs a mezuzah or not? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, yeah. It doesn't need a mezuzah. So he started screaming at them, you fool. A mezuzah has two portions of the chumash, Shema and the Hayim Shemaya, right? And that frees the whole house. So if the whole house is full of svarim, you need a mezuzah. It's like, what type of foolish statement is this? So in the simple meaning of it, Kairach wanted to say to me, Kairach thought, by the way, that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to say no. You don't need tzitzis. You don't need a mezuzah. He honestly thought, what did he want to bring out with that? Soon the pasuk is going to say, Kairach says to Moshe, Kairach is jealous of Moshe Rabbeinu, right? He said, you took this and Aaron is this. You took leadership and Aaron took the kahuna and instead of, I'm next in line, instead you gave it to your cousin. So he got angry. Yeah? So what did Kairach say? Like we'll soon learn. Everybody's holy. Kol ha'edo kulam kadeshim. Maduat isnasu al kal Hashem. What he makes you holier than everybody else? He says, everybody's holy. Why are you holier than thou? He says to Moshe. And that's what they wanted to ask with Tchelis.
Exactly the same.
He wanted to say, all the Jews are the same. Do you need tzitzis? He thought Moshe Rabbeinu was going to say no. So he's going to say, if that's the case, everybody's holy. Why do we need a leader? Why do we need you? And that's what he thought. A house full of Sfarim, he thought for sure he's going to say you don't need a mezuzah. So in other words, everybody's holy. Why do you need holier than thou? That's what Moshe Rabbeinu's initial, in pshat, this is the simple meaning of the pasuk, by the way. What did he take? Because otherwise it doesn't make sense what he took. So the Mefarshim saying he took himself against all odds. Vayikach, it says, V'ispalig, he made a Vayikach, he separated himself and made a machloikis, you know, between Moshe Rabbeinu and the rest of the Jewish people. But this was where Kerach was coming from. But who instilled this whole fight? Mrs. Kerach.
And she got punished or no?
Well, she ended up in the ground with everybody else. Then, if you look in the Pasuk, who did Kerach go with? Dasan v'Aviram b'nei Eliyav. By the way, Dasan v'Aviram, you see clearly in this Pasuk, were brothers. The famous Dasan and Aviram, right? It says in the Pasuk here clearly, Dasan v'Aviram b'nei Eliyav. Their father's name was Eliyav, and they had two sons called Dasan and Aviram. They're mamish brothers. V'Ein ben Peles. And Ein ben Peles. Later on, when everybody ends up, you know, the earth opens up and they all die, Ein ben Peles is not mentioned. So the Gemara says, what happened to Ein ben Peles? He was saved. How is he saved? Because of his wife. And the Gemara uses the expression of Shlomo HaMelech, Chochmas Noshim Bon Sabayis. The wisdom of the women build a house. Mrs. Ein ben Peles, when her husband got involved in the machlekes, she said to him, you know what, you're a moron. If Moshe Rabbeinu wins, you're a nobody. And if Kerach wins, you're a nobody. Why are you getting involved in a fight that you have nothing to gain from? She said, very simple. His wife said, why are you getting involved? Most wives like to push the fight. Ein ben Peles' wife was a tzaddikus. She said to her husband, what are you doing? Like, nuts to get involved in this. You're not going to get anything from it anyway. So Ein ben Peles said, this is what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. Ein ben Peles says to his wife, what should I do? I promised them. I promised them I'm going to be part of it. What should I do?
I'm going to go with the guys.
I'm going to go with the guys, the boys. So she said, leave it to me. This is what the Gemara says. The Gemara says she got him drunk. She got him drunk. And he fell asleep. When the gang, the boys came to get him, you know, let's go, action. The Gemara said she went to the door of the tent and she uncovered her hair, which was nakedness. So they all ran away. The gang ran away. And the Gemara says, Ein ben Peles slept through the whole earth fight with Kerach opening up and it. He slept through it. And he was saved because of his wife. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, remember the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara says, you see, the power of a woman either way. Mrs. Kerach got her husband into the whole thought, into the whole fight. And Mrs. Ein ben Peles saved her husband. What?
This is sort of related. Do you know who wrote
Eshet Chayim? It's Mishlei, Shlomo Melech. It's a Perek Mishlei. It's a Perek Mishlei. Sure. Yeah. Son of Shemim, he knew a lot about women.
Yeah, I appreciate him.
Who's there?
Sounds like somebody we know.
Huh?
Is it
Shayna?
Shayna? Hey,
Shayna. How do you snuck in the back?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Now, this is the general stuff. Interesting point of the story that the wives got them involved and now. Okay, Vayikach Kerach, Rashi says, the Targum Yeunkelis says V'his Palig Kerach. He defines, Palig means Pelig, Machlekes,
splitting.
So it says, Vayikach Kerach simply means he took. But Targum Unkelis doesn't say it means he took, it means he split. And then Ne'em Alimelech brought down that this is similar to the Rakia to the heaven that God created in the second day, that's split. Mayim Elyonim, Mayim Tachtonim, right? Lahavdil. Bein HaMayim, between the water above the heaven and the water below the heaven. So, Kerech actually caused a split in the Bnei Yisrael. And therefore, this is very interesting, the word Kerech in Hebrew is the word Kereach, bald. What's a bald spot? A bald spot separates the two parts where there is here.
Yeah.
Right? Kerech itself, Karcha, in Hebrew is a bald spot. Kereach is baldy. It actually creates a split between the two parts. Now you can take this even, and here you see. I mean, I'm going to take it for you. Okay, we'll finish it.
Right brain got disengaged from the letter.
But it's interesting. The letters Kerach, Kuf, Reish, and Ches. If they said all letters are holy, relatively speaking, Kuf, Reish, and Ches are bad letters. Kuf, Reish, and Ches are bad letters. Not God forbid, they're holy letters. But you'll see the way we explain what the letters Kuf, Reish, Ches represent, you'll see what I'm talking about. And, by the way, this is all mentioned, probably not about Kerech, but Dalet and Hay is mentioned in Basi Lagani, brings it down. And that is like this. You have a letter called Dalet. Dalet. Okay? And you have a Reish. Correct? Now, both look alike. The Dalet, the Reish is rounded, and the Dalet has a little protrusion on the top right. It's a little bit extending. Okay? Now, Dalet means Dal, which is poor. And Reish also means Rosh, Reishin, which also means poor. In Tanakh, Rosh ain't called. Rosh means poor. Like he said, Ani v'Rosh, Ani v'Rosh atztiku, we say in davening, Palta daviyav. So you have Dalet and Reish look alike, mean alike, but they're worlds apart. What does this mean? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echod. If God forbid you exchange the Dalet for a Reish, it's Hashem Acher. Right? Lo sishtachaveh lekel acher. Don't bow to another god. If you put the word echod instead of reish, instead of God forbid, I mean, it says lo sishtachaveh lekel acher, God forbid, we'd say lo sishtachaveh lekel echod. Right? So the reish represents bad, and the dalet represents good. Why is that? Because Dalet, in Hebrew, again, the letters go right to left. In Hebrew, letters go right to left.
Yes.
On the top right of the Dalet is a little protrusion. The Reish is rounded. That's a Yud. Yud, a tiny letter in Hebrew is Yud. Yud symbolizes humility. When there's humility at the beginning, then it's Dalet, which is holy. If it's rounded, it's not humility. There's no humility, then it's evil. Now, issue number one. From a Dalet, in Hebrew, how do you write the letter Hey? The letter Hey is you make a Dalet, and then you put a third half a leg. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you write a Reish with a third leg is Kuf. Correct?
Yeah.
How do you write a Kuf? You write a Reish, and then you make a line down. But the line doesn't stop at the line. It goes below the line. Which, as the Pasuk says, Ragleha Yordis Movis. Its feet go down into death. Okay? That means, from Dalet, you create Hay. From a Reish, you make a Kuf. Correct? Now, The letter He and Dalid and Kuf and Reish, the He, or the, let's start with the Dalid. The Dalid on top and down below, and the third leg, which is the He, represents thought, speech, and action. Thought, speech, action. When the thought, speech, and action has humility at the beginning, meaning we're doing what Hashem wants us to do, we're bottled to Hashem. So then you have the letter Dalid, which is Kedusha, and the letter Hey, which is Hashem's name. Hey is holy. Right? So Dalid and Hey are holy letters. It's Machshava, Dibur, and Ma'aseh of Kedusha. We know the difference between Ches and Hey is also good and bad. For instance, Chometz is Ches Mem Tzadik. Matzah is Mem Tzadik, but instead of a Ches, it's a Hey. Correct? Matzah represents humility and Kedusha. Chometz represents ego and evil. So again, Hey is a holy letter. Ches is an unholy letter. Chometz, Ches represents the uniqueness of Chometz. Why? Because in Kedusha, between thought, speech, and action, there's a little break. In evil, there's a whole discussion, it's not for now. In evil, it goes thought, speech, and action like a ches. There's no separation. It's not good.
Spontaneous, whatever.
Okay, now. So look at the letters of Korach. Kuf, Reish, and Ches. Three bad letters. Kuf is the Reish coming down. That means from the thought and speech of evil, it goes into the action of evil. And when you do evil action, it steps you all the way down below the line. Like, pardon the expression, to hell. Right below. Reish is thought, speech, and action. Thought and speech of evil. In Ches is thought, speech, and action of evil. So the name Korach itself, besides meaning bald spot, which separates, in Kedusha there's unity. In evil, there's separation. No unity. So the name Korach itself represents the whole concept of evil.
And then he had all of those money.
He had a lot of money. Korach was the richest man that ever lived. Mm-hmm. He found one of the three treasures that Yosef buried in Egypt when he had all the money from the whole world during the hunger. Mm-hmm. So Korach found, it says in the Medrash, Yosef buried three treasures. Korach found one. He was the richest man. In Yiddish, there's an expression, reich like Korach, rich like Korach. He was very, very wealthy. What?
Didn't Datan and Aviram die before?
No, when it says, when it says that the men died, they told Moshe Rabbeinu all the guys died. So Rashi says they didn't die, they became broke. And a poor man's like dead. But Rashi says over there, in last week's parsha, in Shmais, that they didn't die, they just became broke, and therefore they were considered dead. But they were very much alive until now they died, when the earth opened up, Dasan and Aviram died. But there were troublemakers with Moshe, there were troublemakers with the Mon.
So old-timers.
Old-time troublemakers.
So they physically did not die.
Then, no. Rashi says, in Parsha Shmais, when Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to go back to Egypt because all the guys... Then all the guys that want to... Here. V'yem Hashem Omesha, go back to Egypt. Ki meisu kol ha'anoshim. The man died. So Rashi says... Here, Mihem Dasan Avirim, Chayim Hayu. They were alive, Rashi says. But Yordum in Chaseyam, they lost, he quotes it from a Gemara. They lost all their money, and therefore they had it done like they were dead.
At this time,
but they were alive. Yeah. They were alive.
At this time, doesn't have the money.
I don't, they lost the money.
At this time, they don't have any money.
I don't, doesn't say whether they got the money back or not. It doesn't say.
So they had like grudges against Moshe Rabbeinu.
Yeah, they were troublemakers from day one.
How could they even conceive somebody that they knew was an emissary from God? How would they challenge someone like that when they saw the miracles he did? How would they even...
How?
Dare, really.
But they did it. And even now, Moshe Rabbeinu will learn. Went to them, begging them, what do you need to fight for? Let's, you know, make peace. They didn't listen. It's the power of evil. Evil is very, very powerful. But you have that in the world today also. There are a lot of people that just are cruel.
They get richer, they get more cruel.
Yeah. Huh? Usually goes together.
Rabbi, have you seen I don't want to interrupt you.
But
have you seen rabbis that were really great and times of test they really went beyond? They did not get overwhelmed by the circumstances where their livelihood was online, and they made a compromise just to avoid controversy.
Of course.
And have you seen, we must have seen situations with the other way around, where you expect a rabbi that was very, seemed to be very pious, and then when it came money matters, all of a sudden he became like just
ordinary. He wasn't so pious. The true test of somebody's greatness is not when everything's good.
Yeah, when everything's good.
When things are tough and the way they react, that's the test of a great people.
Does it mean that that everything they did before that test was...
Not necessarily. Certain tests people are able to handle, certain tests not.
So always God give you the test that you can handle it.
They should be able to.
You could, but you don't always.
You don't always, but you should be able to.
Usually we don't.
Yeah. But you have to judge as kol adam lekavshus. You know, kol adam means you can't judge a person complete by one act that they do. You have to look at the overall person. Okay, when you say somebody is a good person, does that mean they never did bad? Doesn't mean that. It means, generally speaking, more or less, most of the time they do good. Of course, every person does bad.
Everybody
has a good point. People who are looking for flawless friends, they remain friendless.
But the respect.
This Shabbos in Shul 3, older girls came over to me and asked me, give me a bracha for Shidduch. What should we look for? Mm-hmm. I said to them.
That's why you're pointing me out?
I wasn't pointing at you. Yeah, I was. I said to them two things. Number one, every guy you go out with is the one closer to the real one. Number one. And number two, I said, if you're looking for Mr. Perfect, they don't exist. And don't waste your time looking. You're not perfect. I said to them, you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. He's not perfect. She's not perfect. Nobody's perfect. You're looking for Mr. Perfect, you'll never get married. Bottom line. That's all. Okay. Nobody's perfect. Okay. So these are the people that were involved in the Machlokes of Kairach. Okay? Now, another interpretation is of Yikach Kairach took. How did he take them?
So was one of them was not to be perfect and the other was
to be... Everyone you go out with is closer to the real one that you're going to marry.
Closer to the real one? You mean to say the more they go
out... Let's say it's destined by God, you need to go out with 10 people. So every time you go out with one, you're getting closer to the real one.
So you mean going out with other?
So they go out, we're not in Shidduchim now.
No.
Vayikach Kairach, Kairach took him with words. It says in the Medrash, what do you mean Vayikach Kairach, Kairach took? What did he take? So one interpretation, we said he took a talis full of tchelis. But Vayikach Kairach, Targum says he made a split. But even another interpretation, Vayikach Kairach means Kairach took them with words. Like it says in Kachu Imachim Dvarim, take with yourself words. Kairach took these people and said, you think I'm fighting for myself? I'm not fighting for me, I'm fighting for you. Like all these leaders. I'm fighting for you. And me, I don't have a problem.
What's good for America?
Yeah, it's good for America. It's good for all you. So he convinced them. He was a good talker, a good orator, a good salesman.
Demagogue.
He sold them. But if you notice, it says here like this, Ben Yitzhak, Ben Kohos, Ben Levi. But it doesn't say Ben Yaakov. Why doesn't it say Ben Yaakov? Because Yaakov Avin on his deathbed, when he was benching the children, when it came to Levi, he says, "Bekaholam al techad kvedi." He said, "I beg you, when they get together against Moshe Rabbeinu, keep me out of it." So Yaakov Avinu davened that when Korach's fighting, he should be left out of it. And therefore, it only says Ben Yitzhak, Ben Kohos, Ben Levi. It doesn't go up to Yaakov. It leaves out Ben Yaakov. Yes.
He knew about you.
Now, Korach was jealous. Oh, it's 9 o'clock. Okay. Continue next.